following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Golic, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get that?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1 million. Sponsored by Conagra Foods.
Get your car in the game with Bridgestone. Right now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone tires, you could receive a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card or a $100 GameStop gift card by mail. Visit BridgestoneTire.com for details. It's game on with Bridgestone.
Offer valid until September 30th. Prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Offer good in U.S. See associate for details. For GameStop gift card information, see GameStop.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Buda, Randy Bushcutter with you for our Wednesday Husker Lunch, situated here at the loft at Cunningham's. Glad to have you along with us for today's Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan is our speaker this week. He'll join us at the end of our show, and then Husker Talk from 12 to 1 as we continue our Husker Lunch tradition here at Cunningham's. We're upstairs in the loft. Of course, they'll be serving a great buffet again today, and we'll tell you more about that in just a little bit. Also with the Husker Lunch that we have every Wednesday here during the regular season outside of the bye weeks, you can register to win 4 tickets to the Iowa-Nebraska game, certificates to T&M Sporting Goods, and a whole lot more. So stop by and see us at Cunningham's, where you can watch every game anytime and, of course, enjoy a great meal as well. Coming up, Paul Polinsky, the UNK Athletic Director, is scheduled to join us for our Loper Link. We'll also be talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report about the high school football week 2 that is upon us and what he's seen so far. And, of course, Sean Callahan, part of our Husker Lunch. Randy, it's UCLA week, and people have been talking about this game for, well, most of the season.
Well, no one was really worried too much about Wyoming, and maybe they should have been. You know, I think Wyoming's quarterback is better than people thought. We weren't at all worried about Southern Miss. Really, people were going to get an idea of how good this football team was when they play UCLA. UCLA getting a lot of love around the country, you know, rated in the top 15. Some of them have them around, you know, the top 10 area. Yeah, and again, the type of quarterback that Nebraska has kind of struggled with over the last few years, that quarterback that can both run and throw. And so they got a lot of talent at that position. It's going to be a tough ball game, even though it's going to be played in Lincoln. And the tragedy that has happened at UCLA, I think, A, puts things in perspective that football really isn't the most important thing on this old earth. But also it is going to be a factor because I think you're going to see a very determined UCLA team, a team that's really going to be very unified and have an us against the world mentality. And again, obviously they wouldn't want to have happen what happened to them, but that is going to be a factor that's going to make it even that much tougher for Nebraska when UCLA comes to town.
Tomorrow we'll talk with Matt Stevens. He is the color voice for the UCLA Radio Network and former UCLA quarterback. He's going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk about what's going on in a Bruins camp right now, and a little bit of X's and O's as well as to UCLA and Nebraska. Brett Hundley threw for 4 touchdowns, only 305 yards last year. And I guess,
only?
Well, in this day and age, any kind of a good quarterback, that's, I guess, what they're supposed to do. But he had also 4 touchdowns in the season opener against Nevada this year. 2 of those were through the air, but he also had 2 on the ground.
And again, there's just so many different ways that he can hurt you, because I thought what really caused Nebraska problems, not just the 305 yards, and that's a lot. You know, again, you can say that's what they're supposed to do, but, you know, that's still a fair amount. But also, he's just so elusive that he keeps plays alive. There just aren't those negative plays. He doesn't come up with those negative plays, whether it be an incomplete pass or a sack. He doesn't fall victim to those where you can get that 3-and-out because you took the sack on first down or second down, and you got that 3rd-and-long situation. He does a great job of keeping UCLA out of 3rd-and-long, and that, to me, is one of his greatest strengths. You can talk about his athletic ability, but he's a pretty good quarterback between the ears.
Also, a couple of big stories going on in the country. And again, maybe this is a Nebraska bias from me. This $100,000 fine to Ndamukong Suh needs to be appealed and needs to be taken care of. Okay, we get the message, Roger Goodell. $100,000? Go work in the Obama administration. You're in the wrong business. If you can make just anybody throw $100,000 at you, then you're in the wrong business. We could use you here.
Yeah.
If you're
going to
raise that kind of funds. Yeah. Ed Reed, last year, fined twice, $50,000 and $55,000. Now, remember, there was a second incident, both for so-called targeting, going for the head last year. Okay? That's $105,000 for multiple same offenses. And I guess you can say Ndamukong Suh has done what he's done, the stomp, the push, the shove, the kick, whatever. I just didn't see it Sunday. That when you watch that, that doesn't look to me like a $100,000 fine. And
no.
I guess if you're a Viking fan or an anti-Sue fan, you can go, well, what if he would have blew his knee out? That can happen on any play at any time.
Yeah, it's his reputation that's getting in his way. And it's one of those things where the reputation's feeding himself, because, again, he get flipped over and ended up kicking Aaron Rodgers, if you want to call it that kick. Man, he's very athletic. If he can roll over and then – time his kick on the backside as he's rolling over the top of somebody that's trying to block him and then kick the quarterback. And if you find that to be intentional, you're giving a lot of credit to Suh for being a tremendous athlete. You know, the point of me telling that story is that I think a lot of times his reputation has made it so people expect the worst of him instead of expecting the best of him. So he does not get the benefit of the doubt. I think if you look at that, if it was any other player, or almost any other player, you would give him maybe the benefit of the doubt. But Sue's kind of used that up a little bit and doesn't get that anymore. And the less he's given that benefit of the doubt, the more he's going to develop this reputation of being the dirtiest player in the league, which people have talked about. And as a result of that, I think that's where that big fine comes from, because he has now gotten the reputation. And I'm not saying the word earned necessarily. There's been a few things in there that I think Suh was guilty of, but a few things that he's been accused of and even kind of in the press convicted of, I don't necessarily agree with. But as a result of that, anytime he does anything, it's going to be under the microscope and it's going to be enforced more strictly than just about anybody else in the league.
Suh is expected to appeal the decision. His agents are gathering information. At this point, they're saying the amount is excessive. The NFL has a system based on escalating discipline. $30,000 for his altercation with Matt Schaub last year. Now the cost, $100,000. The largest fine in NFL history without a suspension, which then, of course, you lose your game check, which is more than that can be just about anything. Just depends who you are in the league.
Yeah, and he's what is he making, $12 million a year? Something like, I mean, he's making a tremendous amount of money. So $100,000 for somebody that makes that much money isn't that dramatic, but you get suspended. Holy cow. Now you're talking a fine, in a sense, because you don't get that game check. You're talking a fine that's 10 times as much as what he was given for what happened against the Vikings last week.
we would love to have you join us. Give us your opinion, and you can do that, as you always can, via the Bruce Furniture fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Of course, you can always fire off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, we're always there on Facebook at ESPN Superstation. A couple of other national stories to talk about. The Oklahoma State thing is continuing. And Randy, I don't know. I guess it just depends to me. I'm listening and watching the national press here over the last 24 hours. And it seems to me it just depends on the way you feel that certain day. Oklahoma State is being thrown under the bus by Sports Illustrated, and it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people believe it. They're finding it hard to believe that these players, and it seems to me in all these accusations, this is the way things should be. Look into who's making the accusation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A bunch of guys you've really never heard of are making the accusation that played at Oklahoma State. They're making the accusations about other players, themselves a little bit, and people, it seems like, are finding this whole thing hard to believe. What's the vendetta is the whole talk here. Why are these guys doing this to Oklahoma State?
Well, one of the questions you kind of run into is, why would they lie? What is in it for them to throw their alma mater under the bus? The few players that have kind of said something was going on there. I understand why you would lie to protect your reputation and protect your university's reputation, but why would you lie to make that accusation? Which is why I think a lot of people kind of lean to the idea that maybe Oklahoma State did it. And I also think there's that element of disbelief that, holy cow, these guys were not that good in the Big 8 and then the Big 12 conference for a long period of time. And then they got really good really fast. In fact, the cover of Sports Illustrated kind of has that as the title. How do you get really good? How do you go from really bad to really good really quick? And this is how you do it. And I think there's just that kind of element of disbelief that they could do this in a clean manner. But where is the real evidence? You know, where is the strong evidence? You still have to find some way of convicting these folks. And unless you've got and we've seen this with the Manziel case, unless you've got a stamp check, unless you've seen something, unless you've got that physical evidence, if I say I did it and you say I didn't, you know, or vice versa, when you run into that he said deal, you kind of have to give the university the benefit of the doubt. And right now, I don't think there's really hard evidence pointing at Oklahoma State.
Well, we'll have to see how it all plays out. And again, Sports Illustrated is kind of dragging this out. It's like a five-part. It's going to take a month for us to figure everything or hear everything that they have found out. So we'll keep up to date on what's going on with Oklahoma State. But as folks are saying, what if this happened to your school?
Right. Well, you got to sell magazines. So that's why they're going to kind of drag that out as much as possible. But a lot of the guys that have been named, I know this guy took the money. They're coming out and saying, no, I didn't. And, you know, Reggie Bush fessed up fairly quickly, really. And so if it's as widespread as they say it is, we will probably find that evidence. So I just don't think there's a real strong need to rush to judgment on this.
Yeah, Reggie Bush really got penalized, didn't he? Let's take a look.
The university did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why those former players, why would they, in some cases, why would they lie to protect the reputation of the university? Because they got what they wanted to out of going to Stillwater.
Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day has to do with Oklahoma State. What do you believe regarding the allegations of the corruption at Oklahoma State? It happens in most all programs, or it happens in a small number of programs. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, yes, we got into NASCAR. What do you think of NASCAR booting Martin Truex from the Chase and replacing him with Ryan Newman? 43% agree with it. 21% disagree with it. 21% disagree with it and said Boyer should be out too. And 14% said you should add Jeff Gordon to the Chase. So those are our results of the Midtown Mart Cooler question. It is our Husker Lunch every Wednesday here at Cunningham's, getting underway at 12 noon. Come on up, enjoy a great buffet lunch and talk and hear from Sean Callahan answering all your Husker questions from noon to 1. When we come back, another Wednesday tradition is our Loper Link, and we'll talk with the athletic director at the University of Nebraska, at Kearney, Paul Plinsky, who's on the job. He'll tell us what's been going on the first couple of weeks after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Did summer come to an end along with your wish to lose weight? Did procrastinating get the better of you? The good news is it's never too late to get started. For a limited time at Complete Nutrition, come in and save 30% on all of our weight loss kits. Our weight loss kits have helped thousands of people lose anywhere from 10 pounds to over 100 pounds. Save 30% on our number one sellers like CTS 360, ManCore, Charger, and Refirm. Come into a Complete Nutrition store today and start losing weight now. We'll do everything we can to help you reach your goals. You don't have to go at it alone. With 30% off on all of our weight loss kits, today is the time to come into Complete Nutrition and get started.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Tired of your allergy symptoms interfering with your life? Try Allegra. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy. It starts working in just 1 hour and keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms, like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes, even on the toughest pollen days. So stop suffering and start living with Allegra. Applies to first dose only. Among OTC-branded antihistamines, use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Tammy has been pulled over. She's searching through her glove box for proof of insurance. Should she A, call an out-of-work superhero with X-ray vision, or B, use her digital ID card on Geico's mobile app? The correct answer is B. Geico's mobile app can pull up her proof of insurance faster than a superhero. Plus, X-ray vision can get embarrassing quick, and superheroes don't exist. Geico's mobile app is real, free, and available 24/7. It never sleeps.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our...
Look out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15, at the 10, he's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor. Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies continue today with a few isolated showers or thunder showers around with a high of 83. Northeast winds will stay light. Tonight we'll head back to 61 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 70.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back with you here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. Glad to have you along with us, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. And we invite you to join us today for a little Husker football talk. Our Loper Link, though, is up next, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. And we got the boss in, so we got to
act right. Got to act right now.
I always get scared when they're wearing a tie. Paul Plinski, the athletic director, now taking care of business at UNK, officially took over at the first of the month, but second visit here to the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, good to see you again. How are things so far?
Great to be here. It's exciting. A lot of exciting things going on campus, and my wife and I got everybody moved into the house, so we're renting for a year. But as that transition takes place, we're going to get a great chance to learn about the community of Kearney and really get fully embedded in what's going on here.
Philosophically, you come in, do you kind of need to learn the culture of UNK before making some changes, or are there already things that you see we need to change right away?
Well, there are some things that are in place right now that are pretty phenomenal, and I'm really impressed with what Sean Fairbanks and Rich Broderson are doing, and our senior women administrator, Jamie Lundgren's on maternity leave until November, and so it's been a little bit harder for me to get transitioned into the compliance piece of things, you know, especially after you talk about Oklahoma State and what they're going through right now, but we've got a good engine going on right now over there, and so it makes it easier for me to try to focus in on some areas that really need some improvement and some help.
What have you seen? Tell the folks what you've been doing the first few days on the job.
Well, my first objective is to get to know as many people as I can. It's easier for me to get to know the people on campus because, you know, especially in athletics, you know, you read about them in the paper, you watch, you know, look at the website, you can learn the names and put faces with names pretty quickly. And you know, that's kind of home for me. That's the lifeblood of what I do. The harder part has been getting to know the people on campus and in the community, the people that will share their name with me, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. So we're trying to grasp those people as we try to figure out, you know, how we're going to get embedded into the community. But the athletic staff is really hungry right now for a lot of growth opportunities. And John McBride put a program in a great place, but now it's our objective to take it to the next level.
How do you speed up that process?
Well, you know, the process becomes, you know, what have you done for me lately? You hear that a lot in sports, and coaches are going to always say, I'm only good as my last game, which I get, and I understand that. And there's some programs here that, you know, they're off to great starts and they're in great position. So I watch them and I look at where they're strong and where they could use some help. But then there are other programs that are behind the eight ball right now. And so it's really putting that priority on the programs that need to get caught up. And at the same time, balancing the needs of the programs that are doing very well. And so timeline for me is, you know, as soon as possible. But then there's some other things that need to be, you know, we need to be patient with. Give it a year, 2, 5, 10 years, and some things will come together. But I feel the momentum is generating pretty quickly, and people are ready for some things to happen.
Paul Plinsky, the athletic director at UNK, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If I can take that an extra step, what are they ready for? I mean, everybody wants to see the athletic programs win, but can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, the coaches are ready for some organization with you know, what the structure of the administrative staff is going to look like. You know, we've got some outstanding people in place. This summer, we just hired a new business analyst, and he's going to help us understand our financial situation and understand where our scholarships are. And we need to look at those scholarships long and hard to figure out how we're standing right now and then where we ultimately want to go. So we need to share that with our coaches because they're already starting to recruit. They're already starting to get in a position where they need to make verbal offers to people and get the verbal commitments. And some of them don't even know where they're at with their scholarships. So we need to identify that as soon as possible here.
You're kind of in an unusual situation. I mean, there's a couple of former athletic directors still living in town. John McBride, still a special administrative assistant to the chancellor. What kind of role does he play for you in terms of figuring out where you're at, why you do things, how you go? How have you been able to utilize John?
John's been a great resource for me, and we've already got a meeting this afternoon and again on Friday. So we're already getting fully embedded into the way things have happened here on campus. John's got an infinite amount of knowledge in his mind, and so my job is to be able to tap that and get that information. He's had more interaction with people in this community and on campus than I could ever imagine or ever find in a file. So I've got to be able to extract that from his mind and get that, because I've got to put it in my mind so I can help make some decisions, because right now I don't know that stuff. And so he and I have spent a lot of time talking, and we've got a lot more conversations to go. And the scholarship piece is number one on the list. I mean, we've got to tell our coaches where they're at, and that's the big thing they've been hungry for. And, you know, and on top of that, I need to find out what we're competing against too. So I'm making trips to away games to find out what our teams are going up against, not only from the scholarship piece, but the facility piece, so that I can come back here and we can start analyzing where we need to put our resources.
On the flip side of that, there is also you're coming in with new ideas, and there have to be some changes made in some areas. So as you get the knowledge from some of the people that have been here for a long time, there's also your own ideas that's one of the reasons you were hired. How do you balance those two?
Well, you want to honor the history and the tradition and the things that have been established. And prior athletic director has done some incredible things here. But it's now time for us to say, hey, we want to catch up with the MIAA and be leaders in the area of competitive success and what our student athletes are doing in the classroom and in the community. And so I'm at a point right now where I'm trying to balance what has happened in the past and what's got us to where we are with some of the ideas that I have. And, you know, I look at facilities and branding as a big area where we can be a wow factor to our student athletes and say, hey, this is who we are and this is what we're going to invest in. But on the flip side of it, we also have to look at the scholarships and identify, you know, where we're short, what we need to be able to fill the full scholarship allotment so that our coaches are fully equipped and they can be successful and they're going out on the road and recruiting. And then on top of it, we've got to look at our coaching staff and see if we need more coaches or to increase salaries for coaches to reward them for their work. And so, you know, all those things are kind of coming together that really are not necessarily changing the past, but building on what's happened in the past.
Paul, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone that follows UNK or is in the community. Everyone seems to have that impression that the Lopers are way behind in the MIAA. What is your sense of where UNK is at right now?
I would say that we're behind, but quite honestly, I couldn't be more excited about the chance that we have to jump right up to the forefront. Now, it may not happen overnight, but I feel like everything kind of works in cycles. You know, there are programs that are going to be really good right now, but give it 3 to 5 years, and there's going to be other programs that are going to be jumping to the forefront. And it happens in the lifeblood of college athletics. And so I think that we're in a prime opportunity to really position ourselves so we're at the forefront and we're leading the charge in the MIAA and we're the examples. And so, yeah, we're behind, but I think we got the pieces in place to be able to make that work. But it is going to take us some time and it's going to take a lot of effort from a lot of different people.
When you talk about being behind, I'm sure you can talk a little bit about facilities, and there's been a lot of attention to the number of scholarships that UNK is able to offer in the various programs. Which one of those is the greater priority? Have you decided which one's a greater priority? And then a long-term goal of how to get those resources to fill those needs?
I need to first talk with our coaches, and in the whole month of September, I've really tried to emphasize working with the administrative staff in athletics and on campus, just trying to get to know those people and get to know how things are done. And then in October, we'll start to put together our plan to meet with coaches one-on-one and try to identify what their strategic needs are and their goals are for the future and figure out if it's scholarships or facilities or something else. And for me, I'm just going to sit back and let them kind of feed me with information, and I'm going to take it all in so that, you know, by the middle of the semester, we're ready to be full steam ahead with what we need to be able to acquire so that we can put our coaches in position to be successful.
So with the question of facilities versus scholarships, that may vary on program?
I would believe so, yes. It would vary by sport. And because some are in great position, others are way behind. And so we're just going to have to weigh the two to put together a model that's sport specific.
Just another minute here with UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky on our Loper Link. We had a discussion last week before the home game, and we have an email here on the Dent Popper inbox from Mark that wanted me to address this, and I guess I'll be fair about it because I brought this up, and because you're new on the job, this couldn't have been anything to do with your decision, but it maybe talks a little bit about the future and promoting the program. The biggest home sporting event was last Thursday night's football game for this year, maybe in the last 2 years, because it is just an all-by-itself one item that everybody can attend and everybody can come to. Plus, it was the home opener. Mm-hmm. And the tailgate, the Loper Alley, was not there to welcome in alumni, to promote the university. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, where do you go to? That's been one of the things. Randy's touched on it. It's Huskers. You've touched on it. It's Wisconsin, where you come from. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that opportunities like that don't slip through and actually you take that to the next level to cater to the alumni, because I know you talked about that in your opening press conference, cater to the alumni, which then again trickles down to the interest and probably funding for the university. I know maybe that's a big, broad question, but that was one little thing, and I may be nitpicking, but to me it was more than just a little thing last week.
Yeah, you know, the game against Washburn, I think, caught up on a lot of people faster than it should have. And I think there are several reasons for that. You know, part of it was the fact that they were looking for an athletic director to transition in and provide some leadership. We got done with the game from Washburn, and the next day and on through the weekend and then this earliest part of this week, we started to analyze where we dropped the ball in some areas. And I think it was pretty clear to us that we underachieved with Scott with our tickets and the ticket situation for our season ticket holders, and we didn't captivate the audience the way we wanted to. And I think that we're gonna own up to that and realize that, hey, we didn't do a great job with that, but we can definitely make some huge strides. And so we've already rallied the troops on what we're gonna do with the future of Loper Alley and what we're gonna do with our tickets, and we're gonna make some huge pushes to try and re-energize the people to get them back to what we're trying to do here.
Do you have a specific one or two things from your previous stops that have worked extremely well that you want to implement here just from that standpoint?
Well, I think the pregame tailgate is one thing that creates a tremendous fan experience, and it's something that we'd want to build on here. You know, when you can bring in fans and give them the opportunity to socialize and interact, and it can be a family atmosphere that focuses on safety and well-being, but then give that experience to the fans so that then they can go into the game and it can ultimately become an event, not in a game, but an event. And I understand that we're competing against the Cornhuskers, and you know, homecoming, we're kicking off at 3:00. They're playing South Dakota State at 2:30. So we were a little disappointed to see that, but I thought, you know what, let's just go after it and try to provide as many opportunities for our fans to get out there and support us and put the decision on them and help and make it so that they want to be at our facility and make our place a special place to be on game day. And they'll say, you know what, it's homecoming for UNK. Let's make it over there, and we can always listen on the radio to the Cornhuskers or check the highlights out on ESPN at night, but let's make it an event so that people want to come and they're compelled to be there.
You come from a situation at Wisconsin Whitewater where, you know, the Packers throw a long shadow. Wisconsin football throws a long shadow. So obviously being in the long shadow of Nebraska athletics is not an unusual situation for you. What sort of things did you do at Whitewater that you think you might be able to implement here to kind of make UNK a little bit more standalone and to promote that brand, as you said, that is so important to do?
Well, we weren't afraid to say that we wanted to be the third best football program in the state. So we realized that people were going to follow the Packers and then the Badgers, and then we were hoping that we'd be number 3. And so we understood that in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to fan attendance, when it comes to the, you know, the media attention, whether it's TV or print. And so we just embraced it. And we said, you know, we're going to make it the best brand that we can. And so we provided that pregame experience through the tailgating. And then we had in-game promotions and activities that happened. And then we, you know, we'd allow the post-game activities to take place either at the stadium or in the community. And I think that's something that we want to build off of here and really promote for our fans to come to a smaller but special environment and captivate them while they're here and make it something special. And so we want to build off of that and say, you know what, we understand, you know, the Cornhuskers are playing. We can appreciate and respect that, but let's show a little pride in what we're doing here and be able to support the Lopers and what they're doing as well.
Well, the Loper football team plays at Emporia tomorrow. Paul Plinsky, mm-hmm. the athletic director here with us on the Doug and Daddy Show, going to go check that out. The volleyball team has played their first 5 games at home and have come out very successful. The golf team broke a record this week, best 54 holes they've ever played, beating the record by 10. They won the invite out there, which I may have to say that is very impressive, seeing the competition that they have had, the women finishing in 3rd, and so much more going on with the spring sporting events. Paul, before we let you go, anything that you have that the listeners need to know or that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, I want to say I'm appreciative of all the people that have been so warm and welcoming to my wife and I. And every time we go into a restaurant or, you know, the grocery store or Target even, we're meeting somebody new and they're coming up and being gracious to us. And I think everyone is overly excited about what steps the program is going to take here. And I'm really excited that we're off to a great start with some of our sport programs. And I'm looking forward to going to support the Lopers tomorrow night as they play Emporia. I think it would be a great match for us and great opportunity for us to kind of put the Washburn game behind us and move on to the next steps. And looking forward to supporting the team and helping them move on to get that first W.
Sounds good. Paul, thanks for joining
appreciate
us.
Thank you.
Daddy Show. We'll
thanks,
see you
guys.
Soon. Have a safe trip. Paul Plinsky, the athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We were looking forward, as always, to our chats and our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons. They have the loans at CharterWest. National Bank. Again, don't forget volleyball, football. It's all there. Volleyball is going out to Colorado for four games this weekend. They'll see their toughest competition against 11th-ranked Angelo State on Friday as part of their two games. And they have tried to heal up some of their kids as well. They beat Hastings College in straight sets last night. We will and more on that golf team. Lance Lawson, by the way, won the medalist honors yesterday. Shot a 67 in the third round, and he wins.
That's
the
pretty solid. Round. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm wondering if I'm going to get to hole 10 with a 67. So congratulations to Lance and the crew. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen, Husker Prep Report. This is our Husker Lunch from Cunningham's. Be sure to make part of your lunch hour Cunningham's. We're upstairs in the loft. We've got another barbecue buffet for you today. Enjoy a great lunch for $8.99. Come up and say hi to Chuck Dummer. He'll let you know what's going on in the world. It's great.
Straighten you out.
Great to see him as well. And you're going to learn a lot, hopefully. And if you need to learn more, you can ask Sean Callahan. He'll be here from 12 to 1. We'll take a break. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road today with the Doug and Daddy Show.
Because Kate switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her purse wants to do some cartwheels. Maybe three or four in a row. But it can't. It's a purse. Doesn't have the hand-eye coordination for cartwheeling. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice some extra cash, you'll know your purse wants to do some cartwheels. But remember, it can't, because purses don't cartwheel. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
College football is back in full stride, which means the Dr. Pepper tuition giveaway is back again to change the lives of deserving students around the country. Like our 2012 SEC winner, Garrett Booker, who overcame adversity by joining the Boy Scouts and working hard to become an Eagle Scout. Garrett is using the $100,000 tuition money to fulfill his dream of making a difference in the world. What do you want to do to change the world? Go to drpeppertuition.com and tell us your story. No purchase necessary. For a chance to compete to win up to $100,000 in tuition, head to drpeppertuition.com. Must be 18 to 24 to compete. Ends December 13th.
Come on in.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies continue today with a few isolated showers or thunder showers around with a high of 83. Northeast winds will stay light. Tonight we'll head back to 61 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 70.
$100 bills and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.
Show rolls on. from Cunningham's and the Loft. We are upstairs for our
appropriate song. Appropriate song. Sean Callahan, a published author. He's coming in, throwing out that money, kind of like we heard in the song. He's just walking in, throwing out the money. We'll talk to him more about that in a little bit.
He is going to be here for our Husker lunch from 12 to 1. We'll talk to him just before noon, and we'll do that here on the Doug and Taddy Show. You've totally thrown me off. We'll talk to Bob.
That's my job.
We'll talk to Bob Jensen next as well, Huskerland Prep Report. But folks, don't forget that T&L Pivot Systems are there for you. Beat the heat with the best value purchase of a T&L Pivot System. Experts, well, they're there. They're predicting that it's going to snow on the Super Bowl, and they're going to tell you that this drought looks like it's going to continue. So maximize your production with the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. You can get a hold of Bill Shapley of Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney and get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
And we're talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. Great to have him on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Duda. Good morning, Bush.
Hey, Bob.
Are you happy? Is everything good?
I'm thrilled. I'm on the blowtorch. How much better could my life be? It's a question I ask myself every day and hope no one actually answers. But here we are.
Well, Bob, we've had some exciting football games already, and holy moly, woolly woolly, Boone Central, real deal. I want to start there. That's the one that made my eyes pop out last week.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that feel that way. It's kind of the perfect storm due to Pierce, for one thing. And you know, Pierce just does not get beaten 47-8 or 6 or whatever it was. But the thing is that it's an untested lineup they put out on the field. Probably some of their best players, except for just one or two of them, are sophomores. A couple of juniors, and, you know, Pierce will, you know, they're not going to wind up, you know, 1-7 or something like that. But the one thing about Boone Central, there's two things in play here. One of them is they've got another Mizzou at quarterback. And, again, so much of life, certainly so much of high school football, comes down to opportunity. And Wyatt Mizzou was a sophomore last year and played with a bunch of seniors. He was kind of in the background. Tough little guy, did okay when he got his turn. Well, you know, the offense is his now. And he had just an incredible night. I think he counted for something like 6 touchdowns. He had a 100-yard interception return. And finally, the only way to stop him was he left the game with cramps. So the other thing that's in play is Boone had a lot of what I'd like to call hidden depth, guys that just didn't play last year only because there were really good guys ahead of them. They've got an enormous line. And Missouri is a shifty little guy. They play great defense. And Norfolk Catholic had better strap it on tomorrow night or Friday night.
Bob, I got a question for you in Class A. I think a lot of people have been paying a lot of attention to Grand Island. You mentioned that Boone Central is the real deal. Is Grand Island the real deal, or do they have to win at Westside this week to kind of prove that?
Oh, no. I think there's no doubt to me that Grand Island's the real deal. I mean, first of all, just, you know, as you know, Bush, these guys got a lot of people coming back from last year, and we've gone through the whole thing about the trials and tribulations of the first half of last year. But, you know, Grand Island was one of the hottest teams in Class A the last month of last season. This is just seemingly a carryover. That defense, which, you know, Tomlin's teams always play good defense, or almost always play good defense. They're playing exceptional defense right now, and that's what they're going to have to do to carry the day on Friday. They've got two really telling games in the next 2 weeks. They're going to play Westside, which raised some eyebrows with the way that they've started their season. Westside's been a good program these last few years over under Brett Front. And it's one of those deals where they did get a scare last week, though, because their star running back, the All-Stater, Lane Yates, went out of the game with an injury. Come to find out, it is not as serious as first expected, and he will play on Friday night. But, you know, the next week they play Norfolk, where another injury concern, well, it's not a concern, it's a fact. Their record-setting quarterback, Taylor Reedy, a kid who already owned basically all the records up there for passing before his senior year, broke his leg last week against Kearney. And it's very unlikely he's going to be back at all this season. They've got a sophomore in his place. You know, they did enough to beat Kearney last week. Where they go from here, though, I don't know. So, I don't know. Grand Island's a really good football team. Westside's a good football team. It's going to be one of the best games of the week. It's a game I think Grand Island can win. I think they're a slight underdog, but I think it's a game they can win.
Talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Uta, Randy Bushcutter with you live at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. We'll talk with Sean Callahan in just a little bit, and then he's here from 12 to 1 to talk Husker football and answer your questions. Bob, we've talked about how good Cozad is and Jake Paulson, so I don't think we have to go back down that road, but were you surprised by the way they handled Adams Central and Cozad? You mark him down 8-0 right now?
Well, was I surprised? Yeah, I was surprised. Like I wrote about it. I talked about it to some people before the game, some friends of mine there in Cozad, and they agreed that, you know, this was a real litmus test. You know, you can be – there's varying degrees of good. And Cozad was good last year. It was a good football team. They were, you know, they were 6-2 in the regular season, got shut out in the playoffs on their own field, looked terrible doing it. And, you know, they were good. They just weren't great. They weren't anywhere near great. Well, they've made a quantum leap. We talked about Jake. Jake had a tremendous night. And the thing that got me about Cozad due to that night was – they had some bumps in the road. That was not as smooth sailing as you might, as the score might indicate. They overcame some adversity. They lost one of their players, Jacob Rush, to a dislocated kneecap. They stumbled around a little bit, made some mistakes, overcame it all. And, you know, they were the team playing with a lot of confidence. Cozad looked very confident, very sure of itself. They looked like a team that expected to win. And I don't know. They've got another couple challenges down the road, but it's pretty clear to say that Cozad will be favored to win the rest of them in the regular season. And if they do, then like we said beforehand, Cozad wins that game and C1 looks different. And then when you combine that with what happened to Pierce at Boone, we'll see what happens. It could get really interesting at the top of C1 before we're done.
Well, in C2, a great matchup in Donovan Trumbull. They're playing host to Blue Hill. Obviously, Blue Hill's had a tremendous amount of success in the last few years. Donovan Trumbull really has kind of come up to the forefront in class of C2. This one's going to be a pretty good matchup in that division, C2.
I hope that the guy that runs the scoreboard has been doing index finger exercises, because it's going to get a workout on Friday. Blue Hill does the one thing that bamboozles almost every high school defense, and that is they can throw the ball. They've got an all-state receiver, and they're going to score some points on Donovan. Donovan's defense is good. They're athletic, but Blue Hill's going to score some points. Donovan's going to score more. Donovan's just stacked. I mean, they're just stacked on offense. And this is going to be a really good game. Scott Porter and his staff down there at Blue Hill have won a lot of really big games against really good teams over the years. They know how to do it. I don't know if anybody's seen an offense quite like what Donovan's had the last year and into this year. They're really hard to stop. And, I mean, you just look at the record, you know, a night where you hold Donovan to 35 points, you know, you end up, you know, feeling like you conquered Mount Everest. And so it'll be a good game. I think it's a game Donovan wins, but it's a game that Blue Hill's got a chance to make exciting.
Bob Jensen with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get into kind of our rapid fire session here and get your thoughts on a couple of more games, Bob. A couple that are intriguing that, in my mind, on the scoreboard, it may not be close, but in reality, maybe it's that coming out party. Sutton at Centura, St. Cecilia at Ravenna. The latter was maybe the first surprise that we saw the chink in the armor for the Hawks. The Blue Hawks put up 60 last week against a Centennial team that I thought was supposed to be decent. Are these going to not be close, or what can you tell us?
Well, I don't think they'll be close. It would strike me as a surprise if they were close. Now, having said that, Centura made probably as profound an offensive philosophy change as you possibly could, going from the double wing to the spread. And it took them all summer, but apparently they figured out how to do it. They are still adding up the yardage from what they rang up on Twin River the other night. Michael Hansen had like 400 yards and 6 touchdowns at quarterback. But Sutton is really good. And, you know, the one thing that you wondered, you figured Sutton's always got athletes. You just wondered how the line was going to come together. They lost basically everybody in the line. Well, first of all, you don't need a lot of a line when you've got Cole Wiseman and Trey Raymer and Noah Johnson. And apparently they have some line. Because I do think Centennial will be a playoff team. I think Centennial will probably win 6 games. But they didn't come close the other night. And as far as Ravenna goes, Ravenna football, it's been good over the years. But St. Cecilia found that extra gear. I don't know. I just I think St. Cecilia, I don't know if they're all the way back to being St. Cecilia, but they're really good. And then they play a really tough schedule, those teams, you know, Blue Hill, St. Cecilia, Donovan, Sutton, kind of going a little scrum there. But St. Cecilia is going to hold its own, and they should win fairly comfortably on Friday night.
Bob, a couple of Tri-City schools are 0-2. Hastings, probably not that big of a surprise that they're 0-2, but Kearney High's 0-2. The Bearcats, what are their playoff chances? Do they got to win out? How do they right the ship?
Well, that's two different questions. One of them, the answer to the first is, yeah, they could still be a playoff team. It's going to take some winning here in fairly short order. As far as riding the ship, I don't know. They could have some guys be more experienced. They could be a little deeper. You know, those things kind of matter. You know, I think we're finding out, too, that, you know, they've played two really good teams. I think, I'll be honest, I think Pius is maybe a fair amount better than I thought they'd be. I talked to some Class A coaches this year, and they thought that, you know, Pius would be okay. I didn't hear one word that would suggest that they would be, you know, anything approaching what they had been in Class B. And I'm not here to say that they're going to be in the state quarterfinals or semifinals or anything like that, but they are 2-0. And Norfolk is just an absolute shame about that Reedy kid. I'm telling you guys, I interviewed that kid in the preseason. He is a wonderful young man. He's very accomplished. He's got to be, besides having some serious rehab to do, which often gets overlooked with these high school injuries, you know, he's got to be just heartbroken that his team is set up to have a great year, and he's not going to be part of it. So those are two tough losses. Southwest, that's a winnable game. I mean, Southwest is a winnable game. I realize it's down there, and that does make a difference. That's a winnable game. But, don't they have Millard North coming up? And I think Grand Island's in the middle of the year somewhere. If they can survive that, they've got some winnable games in the second half of the season. It's just that, they're being really tested. That schedule figured to be pretty tough. I mean, it usually is, but I think we're going to find that Kearney's going to have one of the top 7 or 8 schedules in the whole Class A. And so, they need a win. They need a win. The one thing about it, Coach Cool and his staff, they're not going to panic. Granted, this is really unusual for the Bearcats, but I don't think there's going to be any, like I said, panic. But they do need a win, and getting a win on Thursday would just be a huge step in the right direction.
Bob, got to wrap it up here, but we do have two more questions, so I'll let you hit them real quick here. Chuck wants to know your thoughts on the Broken Bow Gothenburg game, and give me the 8-man game I should be watching this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, Broken Bow is good. Broken Bow is going to be really good. You know, they won 7 games last year, and they've got a lot of people coming back. I certainly like Broken Bow to win that game, although that is a great rivalry, and those how do I say this? They really enjoy playing each other. I think that's the clean way to put it. You know, as far as the eight-man game, there's two that immediately come to mind. They're up in the Northeast. Emerson Hubbard, who has never done anything in football, and they still might not, but they beat Wausau last week, 47-45, a playoff team. They play number two Creighton. We'll find out a lot more about them. And then a game that I think has got upset potential, we'll see. Randolph. Randolph is a top 10 team. Got some real nice skill players. They play at Howell's Dodge. And, you know, anytime you play Howell's Dodge, line play will be everything. If Randolph can hold up, maybe they've got a shot.
All right, Bob, really appreciate the time. You know, best of luck to you this weekend. Enjoy some games, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, boys. Have a good lunch up there.
Will do, buddy. I'll have a rib for you. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, barbecue buffet today. You've got chicken, you got pork, you got ribs, you got all kinds of great stuff. And it's only $8.99 for a buffet here at Cunningham's up in the loft. And then you can talk a little Husker football with Sean Callahan. So if you're getting ready for lunch, join us here today at Cunningham's. Have a great meal. Listen to some Husker football, the biggest game of the non-conference, UCLA, coming up this Saturday. And we'll be back to talk to Sean Callahan, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, right after this.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
Sears Auto Center offers complete car care. But did you know we also carry convenience? We've got online scheduling, weekend appointments, and convenient deals, too. Right now, save up to $70 on Road Handler tires. Get $100 in Shop Your Way points. And we'll check your alignment, battery, and more for free. Come to Sears Auto Center for complete auto care. Hassles not included. Sears, where better happens. Offer ends 9/21. Members earn points on qualifying purchases. Subject to full program terms, available at ShopYourWay.com.
It's the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation, live from Cunningham's upstairs in the loft. Sean Callahan on hand to talk a little Husker football. But before we get into our two or three questions and send him over to the crew here, we invite you up to enjoy the barbecue buffet. I saw, Sean, you already dominated that thing.
Yeah, it was a nice buffet. I mean, it's for $8.99 or whatever they're charging. I mean, they had brisket, ribs, pulled pork, and pulled chicken.
Can't defeat it, man.
No, I mean, yeah, it's
everything in the barnyard.
I think Mike's losing money on this deal. It's such a good deal.
it's awesome, folks. You can't beat it for lunch and a little Husker talk. Your book is out. You kind of mentioned this last time. I think that we talked to you, 100 Things Nebraska Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And you didn't just lump them in there. You kind of ranked them. And I assume the closer you get to the top 10, the more important they are. From 50 to 100, you're just trying to find those important ones, but congratulations, the book is out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, what I did, as you said, was rank what I felt were the 100 most significant things you need to know or do about Nebraska football. Obviously, number one for me was the sellout streak. I think that's the most significant thing. And you know, so at the very beginning, the publisher of the book was, well, obviously Tom Osborne's your number one. I go, no, it's the sellout streak, because the sellout streak I felt was what bridges all the history of Nebraska football from Devaney to Osborne to now. It's what is great about Nebraska and probably the most unique thing. Then Osborne was my number two. Bob Devaney was my number three all the way down the line. And It was a really fun book to write. It's a quick read. It's one of those books where you don't have to read it in order. You can fly around chapter to chapter, and you're a busy guy like me. I mean, I don't have time to sit down and read a lot of books, but this is a book where you can read two or three chapters here or there and move around. And, you know, it was, I got to talk to a lot of fun people. One of the more interesting chapters I did was on celebrity Husker fans, people that you need to know who are celebrity Husker fans, and got an exclusive interview with Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Did a whole chapter on how he's a Husker fan and his thoughts about the program. And he doesn't do interviews. So it was really rare interview that he gave me. I interviewed him at a hotel in Omaha with his security detail in the room. And we talked for about an hour and went out to dinner. So I think it's a book. I mean, I feel like I know a lot about Nebraska football after finishing this book. I know 10 times more than I ever knew before. And for $15, it's going to be a great gift for the holidays for people to give. And I know, I believe it will be sold locally here in Kearney, but I want to say Hastings Bookstore might carry it when they get it in. It's still not in bookstores yet. It probably should be there by next week, like the Barnes & Nobles. But you can go on Amazon. You can go on BarnesandNoble.com or TriumphBooks.com. It's available on all the major online stores online.
You mentioned a lot of things that we should know. What about the things to do? I mean, we know about the walk-on program. It wasn't good enough to do that one. What are some things that we need to do?
Well, like some of the things I talked about were your guide to where to stay and eat for Husker games. I mean, just somebody wants to know what to do and where to go. You know, I had a chapter called Nebraska Football's Four Food Groups, Runza, Valentino's, Fairbury, and Colby Ridge. Just things like that. I had a chapter on Sidetracks, Misties, and Berries. You know, if you're coming in town for a weekend to Nebraska football, the three things I say you need to do is have dinner at Misties on Friday with the Pep Band and Havelock, go catch Joyce and the Sidetracks band, and have a beer at Berries. I mean, those would be, you know, that was one of the fun ones to write about. You know, so it was more than just great players and great games. I mean, there were a lot of things like that. The Big Red Breakfast, I wrote a chapter about the history of that and, you know, why you need to go to that, or the recruiting dinner, or, you know, things about things that are unique to Nebraska football.
And we've had Paul and Joyce on the show. That's always entertaining. And just caught the very end of a little bit of what they were doing this weekend in their new spot. Let's talk a little bit about UCLA, Nebraska, and what's coming up this weekend. We've discussed, obviously, the tragedy, and I think the coaches have been through different things. I can't compare it to Penn State, but you'll have that kind of moment of silence and downtime before the game. But I think once the kids get on the football field, and especially since it's a morning game, you get up, you eat, you go, you play, that there won't be a whole lot of time to be thinking. I know Saturday you were pretty confident, and people keep asking me what I think. I said, remember, with Bo's players outside of that first year, Bo at home is, what, 16-1 in his last 17 games, and that was Northwestern. And they're not getting thumped at home anymore. And some people think that this could be a problem on Saturday.
Well, I think the thing that's different about this year's UCLA game versus last year is I felt like a year ago the Bruins only played one game under Jim Mora. Brett Hundley had only played one game, and it was against Rice. They blew out Rice. It was like 49-24. But I thought what stood out was I don't think people really respected UCLA at that point. They didn't know a lot about Mora. They didn't know a lot about Hundley. Nebraska was rolling. I think the first two games of the year, they looked really good offensively and even defensively. And I think it was a deal where people expected them to go out to UCLA, handle their business, because UCLA had been down in the dumps under Rick Neuheisel. And boy, were they wrong. Jim Mora came out and had a great game plan. Brett Hundley looked like $1 million. Jonathan Franklin was an NFL running back, did a heck of a job and tore up Nebraska. I think there was a lot they learned out of that game, and they're not going to be surprised by UCLA. In fact, I think the players know that, you know, it's a much different game, and they know that they're going to have to play at their highest level to win, where last year I think they kind of went out there with a little bit of confidence thinking that they were going to handle it and go out of there. But it was a dogfight that I don't think Nebraska was really prepared for at that time last year.
I was watching the game with a friend of mine, and he was going, oh, yeah, the defense is fixed. And there was a sarcastic tone to that. Obviously, the defense struggled in the first game, looked a whole lot better in the second game. Where do you kind of see that the defense? Is it fixed, or do we still have a long ways to go when you face a good quarterback like we're going to see this Saturday?
Well, I think everybody listening would agree. They made a big, I would say not just a step, a pretty big step in the right direction. They forced four turnovers off interceptions. They got good pressure on the quarterback with Randy Gregory. They made tackles in space. But obviously, it's going to be a roller coaster. I thought Jason Peter last night on Big Red Wrap-Up said it best. You know, when you're young on defense, you're just going to have a lot of inconsistent moments, up and down moments. And that's going to be the biggest challenge of this season, is just the inconsistencies and the ups and the downs that Nebraska's going to go through on defense because of the young players on the field. Let's think about this, guys. On the entire front seven, there really will only be two upperclassmen playing on Saturday, Jason Anker and Thad Randall. The other guys, at linebacker and on the defensive line, are all freshmen and sophomores.
Talk with Sean Callahan one more thing, and then we're here at our Husker lunch. Still plenty of time. We're here till about 1 o'clock eating the barbecue buffet and talking Husker football. The one thing I guess I kind of keep hearing over and over, even from the so-called experts, that Nebraska, that we're a little surprised about, is the play of the offensive line. Where are we at there? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think last week they did a good job. I mean, here's some numbers to throw out to you. Nebraska hasn't given up a sack all season yet as an offensive line, so they've done a good job protecting Taylor Martinez. But, you know, they've ran the ball pretty effectively at times. I thought, you know, it was a big statement by Bo to go for that fourth and one. Was it in the second half or the first half? But, you know, I think it was Bo saying, we want our O-line to get some confidence and really generate that push. And they needed that practice in the game, I think, to, you know, have that experience of saying, we can go out there and get 1 yard on fourth down, and they did it. I'm not worried at all about the offensive line. I mean, I think the only thing that I'm still worried about is the consistency of the defense and the ability to tackle and communicate in space.
We always like to wrap up by asking you the following question. What do you think on Saturday? What's your point spread?
You know, I do have Nebraska winning. I think they can cover the, is it four and a half? Where's Tony Davis when you need him? Point spread. But I think at home at 11 a.m. with the emotional week UCLA has gone through, there's just a lot of things working for Nebraska. And as I mentioned, I don't think UCLA is going to catch Nebraska by surprise. I don't see UCLA's defense slowing down Nebraska that much. I think Nebraska's offense will score. It's a matter of, can this defense generate enough stops to get it done? I think they will at home, the alternate uniforms. And if they can win this game, guys, you're looking at a team that's going to probably win all their games in October and be 7-0 going into November. I mean, that's a heck of an opportunity here if they can come out of this game with a win.
And Illinois looking pretty good. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to that ball game. But, Sean, we'll turn you over to the crew here. Thanks for the time, and see you Saturday morning for breakfast.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Sean.
Don't forget, the book is going to be out here the next week. You can go online now to see 100 Things Nebraska Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. The foreword by Dave Remington and some great chapters in there. Brought to you by Sean Callahan. And also, folks, Midway Auto Dealership can get you to the game and back. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Right now, they have a whole slew of 2014 vehicles in stock, over 100 of those that you can choose from. Some of them started under $16,000, and they still got great deals and incentives from the manufacturers on 2013 Rams and Silverados. You can save over $8,000 off the Rams and nearly $11,000 off the Silverados, plus see the complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. Midway Chevrolet, Buick Cadillac, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way. Randy, anything else before we get out of here, man?
Well, a couple of things. Sean's book is on Amazon, so that'll be an easy way to kind of find that if you want. The 100 Things Nebraska Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And last night, I found myself DVRing, watching, and enjoying soccer, the men's national team, the U.S. men's national team. That was a great game. They got outplayed by in the first 30 minutes and come back for a 2-0 win. So a big win for them. And it was enjoyable. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Scott Steinbrook, very, very happy.
I had to make sure I didn't follow him on Twitter because he gives it away.
They're in the World Cup, so congratulations. That's what's important.
Yeah.
What a good deal. All right, folks, we want to thank everybody for joining us on the show today. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, University of Nebraska at Kearney Athletic Director Paul Plinsky. Tomorrow, the color analyst for the UCLA Radio Network and former Bruin quarterback Matt Stevens will join us. Luke Hoover of RotoWire to answer all of your fantasy football questions and a whole lot more as well. I want to thank all our fine folks, Hope Federal Bank, Terry Michaels Clothiers, Cunningham's, for being part of our Husker Lunch. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!